Good morning, everybody, and we are back. It's only been a short time since the last one, but due to various budgetary constraints and the reasons for things like Andrew going to Portugal, I think, later on today, we've stuck this one early because we had enough trouble getting on this morning as it was without having to worry about Andrew joining us from Portugal later in the week. So here we are. We've got lots of things to talk about today. We say lots of things. We've just been having a bit of a chat and wondering what on earth we're going to talk about. But there are plenty of things we can talk about, including how's the weather down in South Africa, Stuart?
It's still extraordinarily pleasant. Thank you very much. We had, it's very lovely. We had biblical rain yesterday.
Good.
Proper rain. But apart from that, it has been lovely. Yeah, it's very good. Nice. Apparently, it's not that nice in England.
No,
it's freezing.
Yeah, it's
freezing.
Really nippy. Yeah, got a cold front that's coming.
That's
been about one degree or something
bad
in the evening. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and of course, you know, the bloody central heating's come on now, so that's costing me.
Always sunny in Hampshire.
We say, I was going to say back to sunny Sussex in 10 days. So,
is it in 10 days?
10 days, yeah. Back on the fly on the 2nd.
Right.
So, back to the warmth.
What have you been doing while you're at South Africa, Stu? You can't possibly have just been sitting by the pool and watching baboons running through your dustbin.
No, I haven't. I've been working. I own part of a cricket business, so I've been doing quite a bit of stuff there with them. And I meant to be writing. So if the lovely Rebecca is listening, which I know that she does listen, I'm nearly finished. And I will promise I'll have what I said I'd give to you about a month ago. I promise I'll have it ready. So, yeah, we're doing a television show at the moment, one of the things we're doing. So I've got to finish that by certainly before I come home and send it to her. So I should be carrying on that this afternoon.
So a bit more exciting than over here, then. That sounds very exciting.
Well, what? It's cricket business. It's just selling box and bats and stuff like that, you know.
Indoor centre, darling.
Yeah.
Hospitality boxes.
We could all do it. What you do is you buy a cricket bat for £100, you sell it for £200. It's the perfect business. That's all there is to it, apparently.
Not sure it is, really. Not sure it's quite as simple as that. But yes, so obviously that's what
we're doing. How much
is
a cricket bat these days, Stuart? I think the last one I bought was about £30.
Yes. £1,000 for the top one.
Really?
Yeah.
£1,000.
Yeah. You could pay.
Bloody
I think
hell.
What are you paying, Stoke? £500-600 for a very good one?
Yeah, yeah. If
I
you're
would
in
think
the,
so.
If you're in the know, you can get a reasonable deal, but off the shelf in Lily White's you're looking at £1,000.
Yeah. You're not sure Lily White's is sending you anything decent, but certainly off a decent bat company, yeah, you're spending close to £1,000 for a very nice top of the range bat.
And not that I want to bore Ilona, so we'll just rush through this cricket segment.
Oh, I'm gone.
Quickly.
I'm out.
is there noticeably any difference between, say, you wanted to buy either a Stuart Surridge bat or a Kookaburra bat or whatever? If they weren't branded, could you tell one from the other? I mean, honestly, is it almost impossible for a bat salesman to persuade them that? But they're gun
it's all about the quality. It's all about the quality of the willow and how it's pressed and prepared and all that sort of
right.
stuff. So it is. But the clefts will come from the same sort of place. They'll buy from the same companies.
Right.
But it's how they prepare them and do them and the grade of the willows and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And with that, Ilona Wake has gone. She's gone. She's out of it.
I'm working out how to change my Google password.
She's gone for good.
I can tell you something interesting, Ilona.
Go on then.
The willow tree that makes the cricket bat is not actually a tree, it's a reed.
Oh,
is it?
Really?
Yes.
Very strong reed.
Yes, which is why it's got flexibility in it. And if you put your ear next to it, you can hear the water going up its reed conicals, whatever they're called, and it drinks about 10,000 gallons a day.
What, even when it's made into a bat?
No, when it's a
I was gonna say, do you have to then put it back in the water?
It's
Andrew, what have you been up to and what are you about to get up to?
I'm packing for Portugal. I'm going on a quest to find the origins of the word marmalade. No, I'm packing to go off, and I'm staying with the lovely Leslie in Villa Moria for a few days.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, she's got to go back to work, and a few of my mates might be flying out, and we're having a little golf.
Now, tell us the truth. Which half of the holiday are you looking forward to most?
The first bit with my darling Leslie.
Absolutely.
But I've only got hand luggage, so I don't know if she's going to notice that for the first week I'm wearing golf clothes only.
I was going to say, he'll be sat in the little row of three seats on his EasyJet flight, and there'll be Leslie as his golf clubs, and then Andrew by the window.
Because he doesn't want to pay for the excess baggage.
Yeah.
I hired them out there. They're 50 euros for three rounds.
Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it?
So that's easier than playing EasyJet.
Yeah. No, it's very sensible.
And going
it's lovely. Villamora is lovely. I've played there a couple of times. It is lovely. I hear the courses in Portugal are fabulous. So, yeah, you'll have a great time.
Yeah. I hear it's nice.
Good. I read this morning that told two Jags Johnny Prescott died.
Yes, just saw that.
I saw that a minute ago. It's always
whenever you get something like that, it makes you feel old yourself because you look at how old they are.
Yes, I had no idea.
And he's 86, and you think, where's that time gone?
I thought he's about 75.
It's about hard to imagine, isn't it, that he was 86.
And for years, apparently, he's had Alzheimer's or dementia for years, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
I said, bloody hell.
Yeah, they don't make them like him anymore.
No, you know, yeah, I don't think you get away in 2024 with people like him anymore. A shouter.
Yeah, you get away with different things these days, don't you? You get away with just completely lying with a straight face. No matter what political party you represent, you look at the camera and you just lie.
Or being like Rachel Reeves and getting like a Lego head haircut.
What was the... Was it in the 80s when someone threw an egg at him and he punched them or
punched them, didn't he?
Yeah,
he punched them back, didn't he? And they had a scrap on the ground.
Brilliant.
That's what you want.
It was a good old straight right as well, wasn't it? It was a straight punch.
Straight punch to the chin, didn't he?
Yeah.
He jabbed him right back. Yeah, good old Johnny.
It was a good one.
Good old Johnny. Good programme I've got to see before I watched this a couple of nights ago. It's on Netflix. It's called BitCon.
Right.
Yes, I've seen that advertised.
Fantastic. It's so bad, it's good. It's about, obviously, a Bitcoin scam with these blokes in America. And it's just, you can't believe the shit that they've managed to pull and got away with them and earned so much. And obviously, it's a bit like the Wolf of Wall Street, you know, as in it's really bad because they've obviously taken people's life savings and money.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely scandalous.
It's snowing.
What they've done.
It's snowing out my window. Yeah.
Oh. Shall I tell you what, Lainey?
Yeah.
It certainly isn't snowing outside of mine.
Oh dear. Whatever. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Sorry. BitCon, it's called. It's definitely BitCon. Worth a watch.
Is it BitCon based on a true story or is it just made up?
It's totally a true story.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's documentary. It's about an hour and a half documentary, but well worth a watch. It's very, very entertaining. Excellent.
So I won't be watching that. I don't have Netflix.
Burgle it like you normally do.
Okay. That's the thing. I'm married to the world's moral compass. She won't let us do anything like that.
Oh.
So there we go. Sweet. Bless her. Lovely, Janie.
Since I last saw you, I've been to see three different gigs. Ooh. All completely different types of people. So I went to see Rosalie Cunningham. She plays sort of late 60s, early 70s psychedelic rock. Absolutely incredible musicianship, fantastic, not unattractive. Everything's good about that. That was fantastic. That was a week ago today. And then on Saturday, I went to see a heavy metal band called Tail Gunner. Oh, God. That was in the lovely Gravesend in North Kent. So that was just amazing. They've got a 19-year-old female guitarist as well who's incredible. Like watching Eddie Van Halen with a girl's head on it. And then just a completely change the style of music. On Monday, I saw Jamie Cullum and his band in in Ipswich. I just think he's amazing. I've got all his... It's funny, really, because I just love rock and metal, but I've always really liked him. I've got every single one of his albums, and he was absolutely brilliant. And he's got the best Christmas album out called The Piano Man at Christmas. Go and buy it, everybody. It's been out about 3 years now. Better than Bublé's by miles. And it's
really?
Oh, God. And it's all original stuff as well. It's absolutely brilliant. See, the thing is, you can buy these stuff like Bublé's Christmas album, and you've heard them all before. You've heard Frank singing them and Dean Martin, because basically they're pretty well all covers. Whereas Jamie Cullum's one is all original stuff. It's really good.
I'd rather listen to Jamie Cullum sing Tail Gun or whatever their name is.
No, you wouldn't. You would love it. You'd love it. You just try to know. You just don't like him because he's short. You don't like short people.
I do like short people. I've got nothing against short people. I love it
if I suddenly accuse Stuart of something outrageous like that. He can never quite come back with a quick quip. It's always, well, I bloody do like what? Short people.
Do like short people.
I'm paying a lot for them to be at my party.
Quite an extortionate amount of money.
Yeah, I highly recommend Jamie Cullum live. He sort of starts off on his own on a piano, and then he'll do something with a jazz trio, and then there'll be 9 or 10 of them on stage. You know, it's all big band stuff. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What a voice. So, yeah, go and see him immediately.
What have you been up to, Loney?
Well, mine sounds very boring compared to all your three. Picked my Christmas tree. Went up to there's a Christmas tree farm across the road from us, and you can go up and pick it while it's in the ground. And so that was quite nice. And then my youngest passed his driving test. So that was very exciting. And we got him a car at the weekend.
So that doesn't sound at all middle class.
Well,
driving test. So we got him a car. Presents.
Well, only that's for his birthday and Christmas. For the next how many years, and it's because
so he dug into the trust fund just a little.
Shut up. So he because Henry took his car back to uni, so he did need it. And I mean, he passed his driving test and he had to wait a week and a half before he could drive, so that was a bit
wait a week and a half
because he didn't have a car to drive.
So
we had to get him something.
Have you remortgaged the house to pay for the insurance?
My God, it's so expensive. And he's not happy about having the black box either. Yes. But yeah, it's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Does that mean that he can't actually drive after 10 o'clock at night or something? How does that work?
I think it's more about the speeds. Every day he gets a printout if he's gone over 30 miles an hour just these restrictions. But I think they should, because in America they have more restrictions. I mean, anybody, they pass their tests when they're about 12 over there, don't they, pretty much. But they can't have somebody in the car after 11 o'clock or something, and they can't have anybody under 21 in the car for the first year or something. So they have much better restrictions. But they have been talking about that here, haven't they, about bringing that in.
I think they need to do. I mean, I know that a lot of old people have accidents as well, but I find it, I still can't quite get my head around the fact that you can pass your driving test and then, as long as you can get in short, the very next day, get into Stuart's Aston Martin and just drive up the M1. I just think it's just bonkers. And, you know, there should be something like, until you're 21, you can't drive anything more than a 1.4 or just...
Definitely.
I mean, these aren't expensive or ludicrous. And I can't think of anybody, apart from the young person who wants to drive the car, that would find it ridiculous if you had rules like that.
There used to be a story about the England cricket team, and they were sponsored by Jaguar. So obviously, as part of your central contract, you got a top-of-the-range Jag as part of your central contract. And obviously, there are two or three kids in there, like 21, 22, getting these central contracts. So obviously, they get the top of their head. So one of these lads, I can't remember who it was, he passed his test 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And essentially, he gets a legalised racing car. And I think he smashed it up about 3 times within the first 6 months.
I know.
And they had to rewrite the contracts and say you need to be, 25, 26 and have been driving for 3 or 4 years before you get one of these cars, because they thought one of these kids is going to die.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So it's ridiculous.
our oldest son, Ben, he's about to move. He's moving from where he lives now in Northwest London. He's decided that now he's earning a bit more money, he's going to move to Wapping. So, like, Wapping when I was young was an absolute dump, but now he's going to be sharing this flat that overlooks Shadwell Basin or something like that. Anyway, when he left home, he basically got in Jane's car and just drove off in it. And, oh, so that's the end of the car then, is it? Great, so that went. And now he's moving there and he can walk to work and, you know, he's by a tube station. But he's decided he doesn't need the car and that his parking permit runs out today because he's got, you know, like one of these council parking permits. So tonight, when he gets home from work, after he's had a drink after work, me and Jane have got to go over to Wilsdon to pick her car up again. It's like, well, I've had that now. You've got it back. And we've sort of got no use for it, if you know what I mean, as well. Oh, and he said, so by the way, the tyres need pumping up and it needs a clean. So basically, we're now going to have two cars and we've got so used to having one car, we don't really know what we're going to do with it. So,
I wish I'd known. Could have had it for Rory.
Well, except that I know what will happen. He'll just want us to keep it for about 9 months or a year, pay for the tax insurance, and then... And then he'll move somewhere where he can park and it'll be quite useful. He'll say, can I come and get my car back?
Yeah.
So
it's
yeah.
Amazing. You know, I have children. I have a child who has my car.
Right.
My insurance and my car tag. No, I don't think so. No, I'm not sure about that.
Is that the one who pays for a gentleman to come round and clean it? Do you remember that time she organised a ballet for your and her car
and your
send the bill to you?
That could be the one. That could be, no, I think she finds got her mum as a painter.
Oh right,
decided it was a great idea. definitely couldn't have been done by you in your spare time. No. Anyway, sound like old gits here, don't we?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
What are we going to talk about?
Okay, so I think. What we're going to talk about, we're sort of nicking this little segment, possibly a little bit from another podcast that a lot of people
we don't care.
Ours is slightly different, okay, because we're going to rush through the bit that they do. But we're going to talk about dinner parties.
Oh, yes.
And who our ideal dinner party guest list would be. And you can base it on whatever criteria you like. It could be, like, if you were alone, for instance, it could just be six men who you fancy.
That's my
list.
Well,
obviously, me, Stu, and Andrew, and then three others. And whereas Stuart might have a little bit more highbrow, you know. So we're going to discuss who we would have at our ideal dinner party. And you can quickly, if you like, whack through the menu that you'd like. You know, we won't go into the menu in great detail. Unless we've got a few questions to ask, so that when Stuart gives us his menu, I can say, is that with extra sauce or something?
Not this one, son. Not this one. I've got
I see. Okay. But we're going to nip through. And you can say that. And it might be fairly obvious why you've chosen somebody. So if Andrew, for instance, says, I'm going to have Salma Hayek in a cocktail dress, there's no point in any of us saying, why is that? Because it's really obvious why that is.
Because Andrew's done very well. Good choice, my son.
Yeah, so we're going to go through these things. And I think because he never says as much as us, we're going to start with Andrew. And say, Andrew, far away with your dinner party list. Not too quickly. Give us a chance to question it and question your morals.
Do you want the people first or the menu first?
I want the people. I want the people you've got.
Oh, well, the first one who's coming is Dolly Parton.
She's on mine.
I love Dolly.
Do you?
She's on mine. Now, that's good. Brilliant.
She'd be a great guest.
She's conquered the world financially in a male-dominated world. She's brilliant. Love her. Would love to know more about her.
Okay. She'd be very good at saying grace as well. I think she quite likes our Lord and Jesus Christ, doesn't she?
Great.
And then I'm going to have George Foreman.
Really?
Yeah, double heavyweight. Came back and won the heavyweight title of the world at 40-odd for the second time.
He can bring his grill.
He can grill everyone's steak. So if you're having steak as your main meal, that would be good.
Yeah.
Okay, so not George. One. Mind you, George Foreman, you could have an argument with who's going to say grace because he's an ordained priest, isn't
he? He's a preacher, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is an preacher. Then the third one, definitely going to be Basil Brush. He's going to lighten the atmosphere. My favourite character of all time, without question.
And who is operating Basil Brush? Is it Mr. Roy?
No one. Basil's an individual in his own right.
He's a sentient being, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Stuart's quickly scribbling down Virgil Tracy now.
And then I've got to have William Shatner as well because he's as loony as a fruitcake.
I reckon William Shatner is a bit of an oddball, actually, isn't he?
He's a complete oddball.
Yeah.
But he'll lighten the atmosphere.
I'm just at the moment thinking about the dynamic between your guests. That's a Basil Brush and William Shatner having William a conversation.
Boom, boom, boom. Exactly what I was thinking about the balance. I'm going for two intellectuals, Stephen Fry, who likes his cricket, can add an intellectual top, Brian Cox, and they're going to be
got
balanced.
The fucking Cox, and you, Brian Cox, and
And they're going to be balanced with David Icke and Sarah Palin.
Absolute nutters. Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Right, Steve.
Gordon Bennett.
I thought Basil Brush was a strange pick.
Yes.
Icke and Palin, blimey. You sure that's not Michael Palin, not Sarah Palin?
Michael Palin would be very good, but I think Sarah Palin's as mad as they come, so we'll put her in there, spice it up. I think that'll be a great mix of people.
I think that's a good shout.
Who was the other one of the two at the end, other than Sarah Palin?
David Icke.
Oh, good. Crikey, I'll tell you what. We're not invited.
We are invited. We have a complimentary invite for all the tables.
Do we? Blimey.
David Icke. That's out of left field there, Stoko. I was not expecting David Icke on anybody's table, to be honest.
No, well, this is the balance. But I'm sitting next to Dolly and Trevor McDonagh. Trevor McDonagh used to come and watch us.
Did you mention Trevor McDonagh? I didn't hear him the first time round.
Yeah, I did. I'm sure I did.
Is that the official Trevor McDonald or actual Lenny Henry being Trevor McDonagh?
No, the official Trevor McDonald.
The official
He used to come and watch us play cricket at the Bank of England. Very nice man, very intelligent, loves his cricket. Good on all subjects.
Well, there you go. So that's Andrew. What are you eating?
What am I eating? I'm going for, of course, watercress soup for starter.
Right.
Because I was born in Aylesford. And as anyone knows, the River Isle is the home of watercress, the finest watercress in the world. So I've got to have that. Going for a nice steak on George Foreman's grill for main course.
Any particular cut?
Well, I think Highland fillet. And then Angel Delight banana for dessert. Because you've got to keep it light. I don't want to fill up too much because my greatest love in the world is cheese. And then we're just going to have the best cheese board ever.
Okay. Very nice. What are you drinking?
I better enjoy my steak then.
We're drinking Jagged Little Pill. Jagged Little Pilsner, sorry, which is a Pilsner. Brewed by my mate Graham Trott down at Triple F in Four Marks.
Sorry, is he paid us for this advertising?
No. Well, he's paid in kind.
Okay.
But that's a beautiful, beautiful Pilsner for starter. Then we're going on to the Pomerol with the steak. And then we'll finish off with lashings of brandy.
And are you inviting the lovely Leslie to this dinner?
Yes, of course. Leslie's there.
Of course. Okay.
And all you guys. I wouldn't look. Cook without you guys coming,
obviously.
Okay, Stewie.
I had a bit of a list of people who didn't quite make the cut, but I'm going for. It did seem that Stoko actually went for six and ended up with 12. I know we've got a big table here, but you know. Now, obviously, another one that Loney did. I've obviously gone for Bruce.
Yeah.
Right. I fancied that just in case Lone, I thought I may or may not have Bruce, because Loney will definitely have Bruce.
He's definitely
I'm not entirely sure how good a dinner party guest Bruce would be, to be honest.
Stop talking.
Because I don't think he's the best guest on Graham Norton. I think he has a sort of a look on his face as if to say, I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing here.
Yeah, but we'd make him feel relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. And if the worst comes to worst, you just strum along. He's gone for Trevor McDonagh. I've gone for a bit of an oldie woldie who I know he's very old now. I was a big fan of. I reckon Des Lynam would be a fantastic.
Oh yeah,
Des Lynam.
Yeah.
He'd have some proper stories about. I want people at my party who are going to give me the proper shit about what went on back in the day. Yeah, there's no holds barred. I want what actually went on that you couldn't tell people. So Des would definitely be in there. A slight perving motion. I'm going to have Ryan Reynolds, and he has to bring Blake Lively. They have to come as a couple. Okay. They have to come as a pair. And I'm hoping that Ryan Reynolds, even though he's very handsome, will be a little bit dull.
Why don't you just have Blake then and not have Ryan Reynolds?
Well, because that would be rude, and then I'd be accused of perving. I'd have Chris Evans. I think Chris Evans would be a good the DJ.
And oh, the DJ, Chris Evans.
I think he would be a good guest.
Yeah.
Secretly, I'd like to have Darcy Bustle there.
Darcy Bustle,
very good. She's so classy. Love Darcy Bustle. I think she'd be a fabulous dinner guest. And then a couple, actually, I'd have a couple. They'd have to come, although they're not a couple. I'd have Jason Sudeikis and Hannah Waddingham for themselves, and also they can do a bit of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, that would be good.
They'd be good. And Belinda Carlisle would have an invite. Never know what the Go-Go's actually got up to back in their day. Were they as bad as everyone says they were?
No, I bet they weren't. I bet they were just...
They apparently were absolutely riotous.
Really?
Apparently. And so, I'd have Belinda Carlisle. I know she's obviously aging a little bit, but I would definitely have Belinda Carlisle. I haven't got for many sporting people, but I would have Jared Bowen, because he could sit next to me and I could just basically stroke him, his little head, and tell him that I love him.
His father-in-law. That would be...
Yeah, he's not invited. He's not invited, so we couldn't have his. One of my ideal guests of all time would have been Michael Parkinson, but obviously he's no longer with us.
Have you heard that AI version of Michael Parkinson that they've done. Have you heard it?
No.
Somebody has worked out a way of having Michael Parkinson's voice coming out with what somebody else is saying. And it sounds exactly like him. And to a point where you scary. Could now have Michael Parkinson, say, on a podcast interviewing people, and it's Michael Parkinson. It is frightening, because for something like that, you could actually do something that would be really nice, and you could have a podcast where people are interviewed by some bloke called Bob who does the interview, but it's Michael Parkinson's voice coming out. But you realise that you could just use that technology in such dodgy ways. Honestly, you want to just YouTube it or something like that after this. It's remarkable.
Okay. So I would skip him out of the way. I'd skip him. And I do like chat shows. I would have the one in America who's not a politician. I quite like Jimmy Fallon. I'd have Jimmy Fallon. I think he's quite a cool bloke.
Right.
I think he'd be a good guest.
I think you'd have a friend, Kenny Andrew, that his list was rather long.
How long is yours?
You're going to go to cricket in the garden afterwards with them all.
I quite like Magic Johnson. I'd like to know what he got up to back in the day. And the only one I sacked off because he can't speak English, but he's too cool, it's Paolo Maldini, because he's one of my favourite footballers. But he's just too cool. Yeah. And he doesn't speak English, so he can serve it. He can serve the food. He can do that. Yeah.
I'd like to think of you doing a routine with Darcy in between the courses. Oh,
that'd be classic. Yeah. It would just be classic. I'd be an internet sensation. The greatest dancer in the world and me.
And Darcy Bustle, yeah.
And Darcy Bustle. After a few Baileys, she'll find out just how good I am on the floor. She's and my meal, I would go for, I'd be going for some soup to start with. I'm not going for that watercress crap.
Oh.
I'm going for
double choice of a clam chowder or a lovely lobster bisque.
Oh, oh yeah, lobster bisque is lovely.
Lovely lobster bisque, nice and creamy.
Yeah.
Now, my main thing might surprise people, but it has to be proper. I would go for proper Chinese.
Right.
Absolutely proper. Chinatown.
Chicken's feet and cockroaches.
Proper, proper. No, classy stuff, Dar.
Right.
Classy. So, yeah, Chinese, probably always my favourite meal. Just above a roast, but I would go Chinese. And then my pudding would be, I'd go for toffee tart. None of this banana crap. Get the bananas right out of it. Toffee tart. Or I'd go for an old school lemon meringue pie, obviously with custard.
Lemon meringue pie with custard.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but it's old school. It's like a pastry one. It's very nice.
Who's ever heard of that?
I'd make people drink wine, even though I don't do wine. So I'd be offering water, orange squash, and then Baileys all round for afterwards.
Orange squash. You love your squash, don't you?
Lovely orange squash. I'm actually the curdling going on in your stomach. Because I'm nice. And orange squash goes well when you're having a lot. You need something water-based when you're having a lot of Chinese God. And it's MSG. So I have thought about it, obviously. I have thought about it deeply.
You're having a Baileys with an orange squash chater. Can you imagine the curdling?
What a great thing. Darcy, drink this, love. Blake, you can have a cup or two. Ryan, isn't it past your bedtime? Ta-ta.
Right, I'm going to tell you, that mine suddenly changed because I only kept it down to seven people, plus me was eight, plus you three, obviously. And I would say, Jane as well, but when I showed her the rest of the list, she'd probably say, I don't really fancy going. I'd rather sit at home and watch telly. So I would have, for a similar reason why you, I can't remember what it was you chose, but I would have Simon Mayo, actually, the DJ, partly because he's a huge, huge film buff. He's a massive film expert. Him and Mark Kermode have been doing their film show for about 20 years. But also, if you listen to him, he's on Greatest Hits Radio. I don't listen to him anymore, but when him and Mark Kermode talked about the music industry, he knows everything you can ever imagine about any type of music that's ever come out. So he's a DJ who obviously deserved to be a DJ. And obviously he was around at the time when all the scandals were going on at Radio 1 and so on. And I'd like to hear his take on what was really happening in the background when they suddenly started getting rid of Dave Lee Travis and people like that. So I'd have him. And he's a massive Spurs fan.
Yeah,
so, he just ticks all your boxes, doesn't he?
Spurs fan, film expert, music expert, knew what was going on at Radio 1. So I'd have him.
Sorry, Simon, I happen to have poured the custard all over your lap. Sorry, Simon. many apologies.
And then I'd have another Simon. I'd have Simon Reeve. Simon Reeve, I think, falls into the Brian Cox category in that he is... He's just a telly expert. He's a travelogue guy who's just been everywhere. And he appears like old Coxie to have had to be the nicest man in the world. So I'd definitely have Simon Reeve in there. From Hollywood, I'd have Hugh Grant and Tom Hanks. They're just
Hugh Grant, though. He's so funny. Yeah.
He's so funny. I'd definitely have he would be outrageous. And I'd sit him nowhere near Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who I'd have for a similar reason that Stuart might have Darcy Bustle. But I think she has been in probably two of my favourite US comedies of all time. Very, very funny. And
very good. Absolutely what are the two comedies?
Loaded. Yeah, she was in Seinfeld and Veep. Absolutely brilliant.
She was the vice president, wasn't she?
Yeah, so Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
yeah, brilliant.
That'd be very good.
Can Tom bring Rita? Is that
sorry?
All right? Can Tom Hanks bring Rita?
He could do, yeah.
Good, yeah, okay, that's nice.
Would she be singing or would she be acting?
Don't mind, she could just sit between me and Darcy. That's cool.
Right.
That's fine.
Not
between
weird.
You and Darcy. I changed the place, Matt's over.
What do you mean, either side of you and Darcy?
Yeah, either side of me and Darcy. Yeah, one side, so that's fine. It's worked out well.
Okay, I'd have, now, this person, some people don't like her, but I'd have Victoria Coren Mitchell. because I just think she's just so intelligent. I think she's intelligent, amusing, doesn't look too bad. She can leave her husband at home, or she can bring him. I wouldn't really mind if David was there or not, if I'm honest. I think he's probably the sort of person who would maybe not like anybody else who was there and would find it very difficult not to show how he really feels. So David can come if he wants, but I want Victoria there because I think she'd liven the evening up. I reckon she'd get the fags out and get a bit pissed as well. She'd be very good. Now, Lonely probably doesn't know who this is, and Andrew might not even, but I want Paul Hawksby there. Paul Hawksby, I think, is the best radio, and I just think he's fantastic. He's so talented. He's so quick-witted and funny. He's been doing a show on TalkSport for about 20-odd years, I think, since the station started. But he's a genius. He's also another huge Spurs fan as well. So me, Simon Mayo and Paul can have a nice chat about football. And then finally, I've got Emma Thompson.
Good call.
Because I think she's brilliant. I think she's amusing. I think she'll have fantastic stories about people that she knows and things she's got up to. And whenever you see her on the box, I just think she's brilliant. And I think she's sort of, we've sort of grown up with her as well, really. You know, when you think
she could talk about the Magic Roundabout.
She could talk about her dad and the Magic Roundabout.
Magic Roundabout.
So I'd have Emma Thompson in there as well. So now you know, I want to know what I'd eat. Okay. It's a little bit more challenging than the ones you had. But to start with, I want a load of Spanish pinchos. And I want basically tapas and pinchos to start with. So I want the little croquettes that they make out of there. They've got cod in them, and they're made with a thick bechamel, breadcrumb, deep fried. Lovely, reminds me of childhood. I want cold tortilla, which is just the potato and onion omelette, the thick one. I don't want it warm. You have it cold, like you are sat at the bar with a glass of red wine. I want hot pecan chorizo, Iberico ham, and I want white bait as well. I know white bait isn't necessarily Spanish, but they eat it out there, and I love it. It's a white bait. You put it in milk, dust it in flour, deep fry it. Lovely stuff. Main course.
I want a big pie.
Okay. I want a big steak and ale pie. I don't really want any veg in it. I want it so thick and with pastry top and bottom and it just needs to be absolutely packed with really, really tender meat. Lovely. Sort of thing I don't get to eat at home. Partly because you've got a home, you know, you need to home make it. And I want that with mash. And sorry, Stuart, but I want charred sweetheart cabbage with it.
I don't have to eat it.
And I like cauliflower cheese as well.
Oh, my life.
My goodness.
I chose cauliflower cheese. Lovely.
Yeah, I want cauliflower cheese.
Absolutely lovely.
And then to finish, get a
good pie from the Windsor Farm Shop.
Oh, right. Okay.
Near Frogmore. You get good steak and a pie there.
There's a butcher's up in Ripon that does fantastic pie like that as well. So I could have one of those. And then for pudding, I know it sounds a bit poncy, but I love it. I want a bread and butter pudding made out of brioche with raspberry and lemon in it. And I want it served with custard and vanilla ice cream.
You've redeemed yourself at the end there.
Do you not like bread and butter pudding, Stuart?
Oh, I love bread and butter pudding.
I could eat. I would eat it. I love it.
And then I'm going to have, like Andrew, I'm going to have a really good cheese board at the end. I want Munster, Cambazola, Stinky Bishop. I want a decent Camembert, and I want a really strong cheddar with that. With digestive biscuits, I want walnuts, celery, olives, Branston pickle. I don't want any of this red onion marmalade nonsense. I want that. And for drinkies, we're having Fuller's ESB or Abba Ale. I think the ESB will go with. We had that while we're just standing around waiting for it to be cooked, and we're listening and chuckling away to Victoria Corrin Mitchell and Emma Thompson keeping us amused as we're standing around. Then we're going to have a decent Rioja with our main course. And if somebody wants white wine, they're basically going to have either a good Sauvignon Blanc or a Chablis. And we're going to finish with a chilled white port. That's what we're having. So
wow,
much better than orange squash.
You haven't given that much thought at all, have you?
No, not at all.
Well, you know, I won't
when you said that bit, over the years, keeping the menus to a minimum here, you said.
Over the years, I've realised what I like and what I don't like, and those are things that I really like, so that's what we're having. I can't say I've ever been to a posh dinner and served a meat pie, though, so there you go. That was slightly
well, it sounds lush.
Yeah.
Far away, lovely.
Well, I mean, I really haven't given it as much thought of you as you have, so I'm a little bit nervous. But now that I've been jotting people's names down and then taking them off, and now that I've lost Dolly and Bruce, I might add a couple of different ones because they were on my list. Anyway, Bruce Springsteen was up there, Dolly Parton's on there, and then I've got Olivia Colman.
Oh, yeah, she did make great mine. Fun, wouldn't she?
Yeah, because I think she'd be great.
She's on
fun.
My secondary list.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she's on my secondary list.
I do love her. I think she's hilarious. I've got to have a royal, so I'm going to have Kate Middleton.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I'd like to give her a few drinks.
Prince Edward.
Yeah, oh, but he seems so nice. Actually, I've got a funny story about that.
Oh, cool.
So my dad used to... his job, he used to have to go into Buckingham Palace. He used to go into prisons and he would go into palaces and what have you as well. He used to work for Twyford's Bathrooms and he used to go in and...
Was he a toilet salesman?
No, he was. Oh. He was. He used to go in and tell them what they would need. Well, I suppose he was a salesman, but he was an expert at what the needs were with all those sanitary wear and what have you.
Right.
So, and he... One of his jobs was to go into Buckingham Palace. And in fact, I've got pictures of the Queen's toilet on my phone.
Oh, yeah,
so I'll show you them one day. But so he would go into the palace, and my dad's name is Ted, but he's Edward Prince. But his name badge, they'd put his surname at the front. So his name badge said Prince Edward.
Is that your maiden name then, Prince?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
What a great like name, Wonder isn't Woman. It? Yeah. You see. Yeah. And so, yeah, he had lots of stories, and I could tell them, but they're a bit boring. But at one point, the Queen had this. I wonder if I'm supposed to talk about it. Actually, no, I won't bother. But let's carry on with the.
Oh right. I can't do that. I'm on TikTok. Yeah, no.
Just in case. Well, it's about her soap dish, and I pretended there was only one, and it had a little crack
in it. No,
let's
get on with it.
And hang on, no. And now I've started, and he had to get a replacement, and we had it at our house, and I pretended to drop it, and I've never seen my dad sweat as much as he did because they were having to make a copy of it. Anyway, I've got Kate Middleton. I'm going to give her a lot of wine, so relax her a little bit. I did have Hugh Jackman, but after he was rude to me in the street...
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
he's gone.
He's off. Yeah, he can definitely go because he missed an
opportunity.
Yeah, he missed an opportunity there. I've got David Beckham because, I mean, he's always been up there for me.
He'd be as dull as you like, wouldn't he?
No, but he's... Yeah, maybe. But I'm not...
No,
he's not there for the chat, is he?
He'd be great. He's eye candy.
He's nice. He's friendly.
See if he tries it on with Blake Lively.
He likes his food and drink. He's a good cook, isn't he? And I can ask him about his honey and all his animals and stuff like that. So I'll have David Beckham. Right, where am I? David Beckham, Dolly Parton. Oh, I've got Billy Connolly.
Oh, Billy right. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Because
that
I think
be very
he's,
good.
He's very funny. And I think him with Olivia Colman would be highly entertaining. I've got Matt LeBlanc from Friends.
Oh, yeah,
he'd enjoy your steak
the thing
pie.
About Matt LeBlanc is, I think he's a listener. When you see him on things like Grand Norton, he likes to sit there and listen. He's not a great joiner in. It takes a lot to get anything out of him.
Right. A few drinks, though. I think he'd be pretty chilled and pretty easy and relaxed. But yeah. So Matt LeBlanc. And then I've got Lisa Vanderpump.
I don't know who that is.
She's a desperate housewife.
She's on the Real Housewives.
I knew you'd do something like that.
Yeah, but she's very successful with restaurants all around the world. And she's got, I think, three maybe now in LA, and she's got one in Vegas, and her house on the Real Housewives and also Vanderpump Rules, which is her spin-off show, her decor and her table decorations and her flowers and everything. So I'd like her to help me get it all set up.
Yeah.
And she also makes her own rosé, so she can bring her rosé.
No.
And then I had, Well, now I'm a bit of a quandary because I had Morgan Freeman, but I think he might be a little bit boring, maybe, but I'd like his voice.
Oh, you invite David Beckham.
Yeah, true. And then I've got Aid Edmondson because I would have liked Rick Mail, but he died, so I've got Aid. And that's about it, really.
That's a good guess. You've done well there.
I think they're not bad. Food-wise, mine really hasn't been as thoughtfully
planned out.
I've got avocado and prawn for my start.
Well, there's like nothing wrong with that.
No. I do like that.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I do like that. And then I've got a fish pie for my main meal because I do love a fish, cheesy fish pie.
Do you like it with hard-boiled egg in it as well?
Oh, I don't know. No, I'd stick that in the kedri. I don't think I would have that in my fish pie.
Okay.
And then I've got sticky toffee pudding for dessert, nice. Which I do love.
Classic. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, can't go wrong. I have got the cheese board as well.
Are you having, what are you having with your sticky toffee pudding? Are you having ice cream?
Yeah, definitely. And then drinks-wise, I want bubbly. I want champagne.
Right.
At the beginning, obviously. And then some nice Sauvignon Blanc. Nice Oyster Bay or Chablis too. So I liked your drink.
Chablis, lovely, isn't it? Chablis is a lovely. It's a Chardonnay, but a lot of people don't know that. So a lot of people say, "Ooh, I don't like Chardonnay," and they don't realise that Chablis is a Chardonnay. Old world Chardonnay, nothing like the Australian stuff, you know, that really oaky stuff that puts people
awful.
Off.
I can't stand that.
But you get some really nice French Chardonnay. Yeah.
And the Sauvignon Blanc.
Just hoping enough to get Kate Middleton pissed.
Yeah, definitely. And then I've gone for some dessert wine because I do love dessert wine.
Oh, really?
Especially coming up to
Stick
Christmas.
Stick it in the freezer for about half an hour before you drink it. Oh, get in.
Lovely.
And are you then going to play spin the bottle with the empties?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all going to get really unnecessary. Drunk and unnecessary.
Right then, Kate. I'm here. It's amazingly ended on you.
The bottle's going to be weighted to David.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
So then, David, let's have the truth.
Yeah, let's come on, because there's an awful lot of rumours, David. Come on.
You can actually stand around the table and say, right, hands up who really thinks David didn't pork Rebecca Lewes. David, everyone's got two hands in the air. I think that says everything.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think we've got a very good eclectic mix of people there. And and we must have chosen about Stuart had about 12 himself, but we must have had a 30
I've got a big table.
30 of you have actually, 30 or 40 people there, and only two of them were the same, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
and I never ever expected Basil Brush to be in amongst any of the
lists. That's very true.
That's
or David Icke.
David Icke. He'll liven things up.
What are you going to give? Are you going to give Basil the same menu as everyone else, or just let him go through the bins?
Let him go through the bins.
Bit of scraps.
Excellent stuff. So we're going to. This has been a very, very long first half, as we thought it might be. So we're going to go for a break, and I'm going to pop the kettle on, and we're going to keep an eye on the time, of course, because somebody's going to go and pick somebody up from Heathrow, I believe. So we're going to do that. So we're going to go for a break, and then we'll be back in just a moment.
And welcome back to the probably what is the second and only part of Homopot's Happy Hour for this segment. And it's quiz time. It's the favourite time for a lot of people. And so thank you for quiz options. Similar-ish to last time's. People said very successful, very enjoyable. So we've got a slight tangent off it. 20 hugely famous lines for movies.
Right.
So you should all be there.
So these aren't the taglines. These are...
No, these are very, very famous lines from very famous films. Right. And because we've had a few people who have questioned our quiz etiquette and technique, and I certainly think it will help one family out there who are accusing everybody else of cheating. I think they're going to ask us now to say the line, wait a little bit whilst you write it down, and then give the answer.
Oh,
it'll
right.
certainly yeah. cut down on the cheating. Certainly someone in this quadrant possibly might not.
It's a vision of beauty, though.
Yeah, you see? Absolutely. Good recovery.
Good recovery, but obviously very true. Right, so we have 20 extraordinarily famous lines from films. So,
okay.
All quiet. Here we go. Eyes down. Okay. Number one, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, I knew you'd have that.
I knew you'd say that. I knew it.
So now give the answer.
You give the answer.
Oh.
You're going to need a bigger boat. Everyone written it down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Answer?
Jaws.
Jaws 1.
Yeah, Jaws.
The original, correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Number two. Toga. 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 Oh. Toga.
Oh, okay.
Greatest films of all time. Absolutely not getting made in 2025.
Okay.
Answer? Toga. Toga.
Is it?
Toga.
Is it National Lampoon's Animal House?
Yes.
It is Animal House.
Yes.
The toga party scene from Animal House.
I put Gladiator.
Can you imagine? I mean, it sort of fits, but can you imagine seeing Gladiator where they're all going, toga?
That was it Belushi in that?
John Belushi.
We can all see the answers.
Well, that's only on page two if you can read backwards. Number three. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Where the bloody hell's weight gone?
Oh.
I could only...
Your camera's slipped.
Oh, because I was showing Stuart the snow out the window. There you are.
You can show me your ceiling, which is very white, or it's snowed
sorry.
A lot. You can't handle the truth, which is from...
A Few Good Men.
Correct, A Few Good Men.
Are you
men.
With us, Loney?
I am. I'm right. with you.
Did you get that one right?
Number four, Striker. Surely you can't be serious.
Striker.
You can't be serious.
Striker. I'm not serious. I'm Striker.
You're going to kick yourself once this one comes out.
I know this.
I don't know this.
I don't.
Answer, Andrew.
I think it's Aeroplane, but it might be Police Squad.
Aeroplane.
Good Aeroplane, out. Yeah.
said
Charlie, you can't be hurt.
In a very British serious. Way there.
I am Aeroplane. Don't call me Shirley. Number five. Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, easy.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And that is from?
Terminator. Well done, Loney's got off the mark.
No. Ooh, it's Terminator 2.
No, I got two. I had Jaws.
Terminator 2.
Oh.
Number
Loney,
six.
You can't have that if you said Terminator.
I can.
It was.
Let her have it. She's off the mark.
You try that.
I can see the sheet.
Oh, look, there's a two.
I can see the sheet.
Which you write a two. Well, you can't really.
I can, and it is
you can't
the
read my handwriting. Number six. Show me the money.
I know this one.
Christ, what was his name? It was... Oh, fuck.
Could I say it?
Quickly, Loney.
In a minute, give us a second.
Show me the money is...
Oh,
show me the money.
Bollocks.
No, it's not bollocks.
No, I've forgotten.
Jerry Maguire.
Oh,
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Bloody Maguire.
Fantastic film.
It is a great film.
And who was
the film?
Who was the leading lady in that film?
Ready, it was one, Zellweger.
That's right. It's one of her sort of earliest films, wasn't it?
Yeah. Lovely. Lovely. Before she had all her nose done and everything. Lovely.
that's Zellweger done, sorted out. Right. Go on.
We sound like the bloke of Harry and April. Zellweger. No. Good work. No. Number seven. There's no place like home.
Ah, yeah. That's number eight, isn't it? Or is it seven?
Seven. There's no place like home.
Yeah.
Answer.
Which is very current.
Dorothy.
The Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. And wicked that I'm going to see that, the new film on Tuesday. Yeah, I can't wait.
It's a great show.
It's not ever great reviews, is it?
Was it not?
I thought it had.
No, that's what I read. And apparently the other one is meant to be poor. He's Gladiator too.
That's disappointing.
Because the first film is one of my favourite films ever.
We should probably have a segment in another podcast of sequels they absolutely should not have made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sequels that were even better than the
There were a few, but they're very rare that a sequel is as good or better than the original. Yeah. Some sequels are fucking appalling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Number 8. A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Oh God. Okay, yeah.
Hugely famous.
Silence of the Lambs.
Very good. Number 9. Here's Johnny.
Johnny.
You knew that one would be on there.
Yeah.
From
The Shining.
Stephen King.
Still a bloody scary film even now.
It's also from Trading Places.
Yes, it is. Johnny.
Do you remember he comes to the door, does he? A bloke's coming around to say, it's 6 o'clock, here's Johnny.
Yes, we should have, I don't know if you did in a previous podcast, we should have great fuck-offs of our time, also from Trading Places. Clarence Beats, fuck off. It's the greatest line in movie history.
You should have said it. Should have just said number 12, fuck off.
Absolutely brilliant. Still makes me laugh even now. If you're listening, get it on YouTube. Clarence Beats, Trading Places. Absolutely priceless. Number 10, halfway through. Take your stinking paws off me, you dirty damn ape.
Take your
stinking paws off me. You dirty damn ape, or damn dirty ape.
Damn dirty ape.
Arguably the greatest ending of a movie of all time.
Up there.
It's got to be up there.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's what he says, isn't he?
Yes.
He wasn't. No. I mean, I know he was in some absolute classics, but Charlton Heston wasn't the best actor in the world, was he? You wouldn't go and watch him in King Lear.
No.
He's only in Ben Hur. Yeah. All right. And that was obviously Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes. Number 11, equally as famous. Mrs. Robinson, are you trying to seduce me?
Oh, I know that.
Great film.
Graduate.
It is a great film, isn't it? And whatever happened to Catherine Ross? She was in
a couple of brilliant films,
wasn't she?
Proper beauty. Didn't she marry the producer, the bloke who produced The Godfather?
Maybe. She was in Butch Cassidy as well, wasn't she?
She was in Butch Cassidy.
Oh, she was lovely.
Yes.
I don't know if she's still with us. She'd be about 90.
I don't know if she's still. You ought to check that. That's a good thing you ought to check once you do. Andrew, you're good at that. Catherine Ross, is she still alive?
Cassandra?
Catherine Ross. She's in Butch Cassidy. She's at a place in Butch Cassidy. Absolutely beautiful.
Right,
Number 12. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Oh. Going to make him an offer
he can't refuse. I thought you'd get this one quickly.
No.
That's
already Simon Mayo with me.
Oh, Simon Mayo would have this by now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you an offer.
Ironic, because I've just mentioned it.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Godfather.
Oh, was it?
Godfather.
She's still alive.
Oh, right. How old is she?
Oh, God.
You got rid of it already.
Catherine Ross. Years active, 1962. Born 1940.
Oh, 84. Yeah, worrying thought, isn't it? I was just going to say The Godfather, actually, but you jumped in rather quickly there.
Sorry, I gave you a decent amount of time there. Godfather. Number 13. I see dead people.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What's that called?
Oh.
I see dead people.
What's that bloody called?
What is that?
Is it Sixth Sense?
That's right. The Sixth Sense.
I think you all now need to write down the Sixth Sense and you'll get them up.
But he does see dead people.
He does see dead people. Yeah. You've now just ripped the twist of that one, if anyone's listening.
Poor old Bruce. Number it's 14. So sad, isn't it? What's happened to Bruce Willis?
Oh, yeah.
It is. Oh, really,
it's really sad.
Sad,
isn't it?
Mm. What's happened to him?
He's got a sort of a form of dementia. It's not Alzheimer's. It's a form of dementia he's got. And he's basically, he needs constant care now. You know, he's retired.
It's like quick setting, isn't it?
See him really with his family. He looks really sort of lovely and happy and everything like that. But he's just not Bruce Willis anymore. It's really sad.
Yeah, lights are on, but no one's home.
Yeah.
Shame.
Number 14, shocking film. I'm the King of the World.
I'm the King of the World.
50 today, by the way. Just like forever.
I'm the King of the World.
I'm the King of the World. And I believe he's 50 or very nearly 50.
How old's his girlfriend?
About 14. 18, I imagine. Can't go 14. Yeah, he's never quite stood that low, right? I think the gap's now looking a little bit dodgy.
I'm the King of the World. I don't know this.
Shall I say?
Ali.
Go on. Titanic.
It is Titanic.
Yeah.
A good film, but a shit film at the same time.
I didn't like that much.
My bloody kids loved it.
Felt that there was enough room on Rose's raft for him to get
always.
On.
There's that big thing about that, isn't there?
Yeah, she just fucking...
She could have let him on.
She took his diamond and just...
He also sunk as well, didn't he?
He did sunk. And then basically watched him sing and she said, yeah, it's all right, you're just a holiday fling. Right. I've said there's some pretty bad movies.
15?
This is the one to top the lot.
Okay.
Nobody puts baby in a
corner. Oh, it's not. It's an absolute classic.
It's
brilliant.
Oh, I would honestly rather stick pins in my foot.
That's a go-to when I'm ironing, and I love it.
Oh, I'd rather you watch, Real Housewives.
Well, it's set in a place like
Real Housewives of East Grinstead.
Yeah, it is. It's brilliant.
Oh, my life. 16.
Hang on, we haven't named what it is.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, Dirty Dancing. It's one of those just so bad you don't need to give the answer.
Great.
16.
I didn't get it.
That's a good thing, Stoker. That's not a bad thing. I feel the need for speed.
I feel the need for speed.
I think it's impressive the way I actually read it.
I have never seen this film.
I don't know what it is.
Never seen it.
I thought it was a tad overrated. Yeah, I like the second film, which is another one they made way
later. The second film is meant to be good.
It's just the same film.
Oh, is it?
It's just the same film. It's like the bloody Star Wars ones. It's just you've made the first one again.
Actually, the last Star Wars film was just ridiculous, wasn't it? Because
rubbish.
It was also exactly the same as the final scene was the same as the final scene of the final Harry Potter.
I know. The three M ones are just remakes of the
nonsense.
I remember saying that to a kid at school, and I honestly think he wanted me to get the sack. I said, what was it, The Force Awakens? I said, I'm sorry, Josh. It's rubbish. It's just the first film made again. He almost had to get his bag. Get his bag and hyperventilate in the corner. It's all right, Josh, Mum's coming soon. Get him home. Get him sacked now. How dare he?
So that was Top Gun.
That was Top Gun. 17. A tough one now, but I think you will get it. Oh, no, it wasn't the aeroplanes. It was Beauty who killed the Beast.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't the aeroplanes. It was Beauty who killed the Beast.
I know this.
Come on, quizzer Stokes.
This is the original King Kong.
It is the original King Kong. Well done.
From 1931.
Well, if you get that one next Wednesday, your quiz night, everyone's a winner.
Beauty that killed 18. The Beast.
In my opinion, because Simon Mayer will tell me at the dinner party, possibly one of the most overrated films of all time. Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Oh, yeah. That's,
E.T.?
It reminds me of the scene from, what was it? Angels with Dirty Faces or what is it? No, Angels with Filthy Souls is from Home Alone, isn't it?
Yeah.
because they just, I thought, and that film Before I Abuse It is
Scarface.
Yeah.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is.
I just don't think it's a classic.
Hello to My Little Friend.
Yeah,
it's a good film. It's a Pacino makes his name.
And in Home Alone, he says, "Say hello to my tummy gun." Gets your low down keister.
Number 19. This, on the other hand, is a very, very good film.
Okay,
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Quite prophetic, I think, that film.
Yes.
Have you seen that he's put Vince McMahon's wife in the cabinet now?
Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? The people he's put, whatever you think of his politics or anything else, when you see the people he's put in his cabinet, you think, oh, it's just bonkers.
Puts the COVID denier in the health secretary.
Yeah. And some of the quotes from him as well, because I mean, I know there's a lot of people who don't like vaccinations and stuff, but some of the things he said is like things like he actually said the vaccines totally don't work. You think what on earth is wrong with him?
He hasn't got a big job, probably done a deal. Now that one, Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Comes from
Wall Street.
Wall Street.
Correct. Wall Street, not Wall Street.
Not Wall from Wall Street, just Wall Street.
Just Wall Street. First one.
Hang on. It was Wall Street.
Yeah,
Wall Street.
Not the Wolf Michael of Wall Street. Street. Just Wall Street.
I get half?
I'll just take Wall Street and then.
I got that one.
I think you. Well done, Lady.
Thanks.
Number 20. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I saw that film at the cinema with my mum and dad.
Oh, did you? That's a long film.
It was in the North Finchley Gaumont. And what on earth? I mean, this would have been probably 1977 or something. I must have been about 13. What on earth they were doing showing it at the Gaumont in 1977 on a Saturday night? I don't know. But my mum loved Vivian Leigh, so she wanted to go and see it.
And I can't believe you had a cinema.
Wanted to see it at the cinema.
Finchley Gaumont.
North Finchley
Gonads. Sounds like a sports franchise.
Oh, what a fantastic
place. The North Finchley Gonads.
Yeah, that's so Gone with the Wind, by the way.
Gone with the Wind. Now, I'm going to give you a special. Okay, add them up.
Gone with the Wind. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Done rather well there. 17.
I got 12.
15. I started well. The first 10 were good.
That's good. I like a good spread, because the thing is, a good quiz, you've got to have some people having trouble with it. It's no good if everyone just gets, 18 or 20.
I'll give you it's too easy. A special 18-point bonus.
Oh, right. No.
You know I'm in to win again. Well, that would never have worked out that way, ever. If you could tell me what year Gone with the Wind was released.
I know.
Oh, do you? I reckon it was 19, just before the war, 1939.
I was going to say 39, so I'll say 38.
Oh, 39.
You'd be wrong.
It was 39.
Yeah. Did you know it was 39,
Lodi? I did. My mum used to love that film. I remember, yes. So I did know that.
Unfortunately. So out of 20, Spike got 34. Well done.
Excellent. Hurrah. Good stuff. Quiz there, Stuart. Just the right amount of ease and difficulty.
Yes, there you go. And you have to decide.
You always struggled with maths, Stuart. 17 plus an 18-point bonus makes 34. We like that.
Yeah.
You either win or you lose.
Yeah.
You know, simple.
I won, and that's all that matters
that matters.
Yeah. So... That was all very good, Stuart. Well done for that. So, of course, the next time we do this, we're going to be in your dining room again, aren't we?
Oh, it's going to be
cold. Back to normal.
That'll be nice.
Well, it won't be cold because the house will be lovely and warm.
Yeah,
I might put the fire on.
Imagine, I wonder what your dogs are doing at the moment.
They're probably doing sweet fuck all. They're probably sitting on Sally's sofa, basically with her legs up in the air, doing absolutely nothing, and looking out the garden, thinking, "Nah, it's too cold. I'm not going out."
Which is got the legs in the air, Sally or the dogs?
Well, I'm hoping it's maybe it's my dogs because obviously, you know, despite I'm lovely Sally there, but yeah,
she's not a listener. You can say what you like.
Well, she may well be. So.
Oh, right. Hello, Sal.
Hello, Sally. I hope my dogs are nice. And no, they generally, if it gets really cold, Rudy especially, he's just like, he will go out, do his business, walk in.
Right.
And sometimes that will literally be 3 paces out the door. He doesn't mind, he doesn't care about going on the grass. He'll leave his messages on the stones, walk straight back in. And it's like, right. It gives you that look of, I didn't do it in the house, so you should be pleased with me.
A Labrador's intrinsically lazy or something, because most dogs I know want to go out for walks all the time.
They're pretty lazy. Food, they rest and sleep a lot.
Right.
But it's when it's freezing, they just don't want to go out. They're just quite happy to stay in.
Right.
Which is quite sensible, really, because that's what we want to do.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so when are you coming back, sure? I can't remember.
I fly on the 1st...
Oh, that's right, yeah. So the next one of these will be in a couple of weeks' time. I can't remember. We've got the date somewhere, I think.
I will be home.
How long are you away for, Andrew?
Lovely United Kingdom.
I'm back on the 2nd.
You're back on the 2nd, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
So should be all hickety dandy.
Yeah, so we'll have a bit of a get-together down at your gaff.
Super.
Looking forward to one of Loney's cakes.
Ooh. Yeah. Yes, 2 weeks to prepare. I was going to talk about I saw my friend yesterday at choir about famous people because she said Nick Cave came into her cafe in Lewis and liked her flapjacks, and it's the same recipe as I use.
Really?
And,
is that a euphemism?
That is so tenuous. That is so tenuous to get a famous person into that sentence.
He was quite impressed at cafe and said, "I like your flapjacks, darling."
Did he say, "That flapjack's lovely. There are no bad seeds in it"?
Yeah.
No, I was going to crack that one, and I thought, no, that's a really terrible joke.
That would be too cheesy.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's just appalling. I'm not going to do that.
It's what our audience expects.
It's nothing else. Shit jokes. And awful.
True. We're going to go. That was a nice quiz, slightly different to unusual. I don't think we rambled on too much, whereas often we do ramble on quite a lot. But that was all good, and we've got lots of nice things before we all see each other. And enjoy your last couple of weeks out in South Africa, Stuart.
I will try.
Yeah, if you can
enjoy
you
that
can
sunshine
to put up with all that sunshine and cricket on the telly,
and Andrew like too.
Have a lovely time in Portugal, Andrew. Say hi to the lovely Leslie.
Yeah, swing well, and we will see everybody back here in a couple of weeks' time. See you soon.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Homepot's Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.